This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. 7:46 a.m. Monday the 16th of November, and we're looking at the measures in Budget 2021 for the youths of Malaysia, because young Malaysians have been heavily impacted by COVID-19 in several ways. For those still in university, their learning has been disrupted as most educational institutions have had to close and move classes online.
Yeah, youth unemployment was also already high before the pandemic at over 10%, the highest, higher than the national rate of 3.3%. That was in 2019. This, and I think it's arguably, we can agree that this has been exacerbated by COVID-19. As such, the government has introduced several measures to help the youth under Budget 2021. Among others, these include hiring incentives under Penjana Kerjaya, reskilling and upskilling programs, as well as Bantuan Prihatin Rakyat BPR, cash handouts for individuals in the B40 and M40 segments.
So for more on this, we're speaking this morning to Wan Ahmad Faizal Wan Ahmad Kamal, a Deputy Minister of Youth and Sports. Faizal, thank you so much for joining us this morning. So what is the expected effectiveness of Budget 2021 measures to tackle youth unemployment, including things like Jana Kerja, MyStep, as well as training programs?
Hello, guys. Morning. Basically, if you notice, this budget is basically from youth perspective, is all about creating jobs. And I think we are very pleased that government is taking more aggressive approach, direct intervention in job market, especially something to do with subsidy for wages and training. And we all know that old ways do no longer work. We have to try new solutions. Having Jana Kerja, where we have a job guarantee for 500,000 new jobs across all sectors, including private and public. And also we have a massive apprenticeship programs for 50,000 in the private sector, 15,000 under our GLCs and government agencies. And also we have some initiative like MyStep, this temporary employment scheme for 50,000 vacancies under GLCs and government. So I think this is the major focus of the government for our youth, giving them jobs, make sure that they have breathing space to prepare for the economic growth next year.
Well, before this budget announcement, you did call for a targeted debt jubilee, essentially to forgive their debts, which was actually ultimately not part of the budget. So instead, what we are seeing is a targeted loan moratorium and cash handouts under the BPR scheme. What's your response to this?
Well, there's an initiative announced by the government, at least on the interest on debt forgiveness for FELDA settlers. I think that is one first good step, which I think the government should do more. And what I am promoting is nothing new. Basically, this has been discussed by many experts in the West. For example, Professor Michael Hudson, Professor Stephen Keen, they have been talking about the need for debt jubilee, especially during this pandemic season, because we all know that the whole economy, the whole global economy is in contraction phase. So there will be many casualties and collaterals damage that translated into non-performing loan, foreclosures. So the most vulnerable among all of us need to be given this special thoughts about having debt jubilee. I think this is something doable, given the current situation where we are facing quite a dire situation. And it's not something new with respect to modern economy, but it is something doable by almost all central banks in the world. It just, we need some sort of political will to do that, and also some proper discussion among the experts. Because if you notice in Malaysia, the one that being discussed a lot is all about withdrawing the 10,000 ringgit or from the first account of our EPF, and also loan moratorium. These two measures do not alleviate the problems. Yeah, they only delay the pain that the rakyat will need to endure. So I think that jubilee is the most realistic solution, because many already lost their jobs, and they do need some sort of reset for their to kickstart their new career after this.
If it's doable, as what you say, so why not extend this beyond FELDA stakeholders? And maybe we should have some criteria to decide who deserves to be, whose debt deserves to be forgiven.
Yes, definitely. It's not a blanket debt forgive. We do not give debt jubilee to everyone, of course. I think the priority should be given to those, especially those in the B40 class and also the M40 who are now slowly becoming B40. And it should be focusing on the citizen, not the corporate. And we can couple this with helicopter money, monetary policy, where the central bank can directly print money and give directly to the people so that they can spend. And this should be some of the measures that I think quite doable. It's just a matter of we need innovative policy from the central bank people as well.
So, it seems like you're citing modern monetary theory there. And basically, any country with a currency of its own can basically print money or issue currency to pay for the bills. Now, we are seeing EPF account one withdrawals, I think, coming into play, the rules coming into play on Wednesday, which may have repercussions for many people later on in their own retirements, because if they're dipping into account one, means they've finished, exhausted account two. Why do you support asking people to dip into their savings instead of asking the government to expend social support in budget 2021, especially since we can just print out money, as you just said?
If you notice that the one who made the call for us to dip into this EPF account are not from the government. Mostly they are from the backbenchers, like, for example, the former Prime Minister, Dr. Sri Najib Razak, and the rest. I think the government is very responsible. We all know EPF is not the solution for the current problem. And I think what the Minister of Finance have said, whatever announcement being made in the budget, if we were to think carefully, is quite, although not broadly covering everyone or everything at the moment, but the intangible or the indirect assistance, I think they are quite helpful for those who are not being able to withdraw from the EPF account, especially when it comes to the something related to jobs. Because I do believe that on top of giving cash transfers, we need to also empower our people to be ready for the economic growth or the economic recovery that will be happening soon next year. This is not something, because although the opposition claim that it's too optimistic, but I believe that as what being studied by Bank Negara and also the IMF and World Bank, the economic growth will happen next year, although it will be happening quite slowly and gradually, as we have listened just now.
So, but Faisal, I mean, in the meantime, many youths are also impacted by COVID-19 because of the disruptions to their education. And yet there doesn't seem to be much in the budget to support these students. So how will your ministry instead support young adults who are currently struggling to get an education during this time?
This is where I think we need to situate the budget in a broader perspective. This budget must be seen in tandem with what we have announced earlier. For example, Penjana, Prihatin, that's what in terms of the previous announcement. And also what's coming after the budget. What's coming after the budget, the most important plan is our the 12 Malaysian plan. This is what should be the canvas if you want to see how the government is planning for all these big announcements in the budget. Because people might be asking, how do we really have the jobs needed to really help our youth who need, for example, new opportunities, new skills to ensure they are being absorbed to the labour market? Yes, we do, I think, because the 12 Malaysian plan will be quite substantial. And from my ministry, at least, we have been working closely with other ministries to help our youth to take more opportunities to expand their skills under various schemes. For example, with Ministry of Agriculture, we do have a young agropreneur fund to help them involve in this agriculture, whether you are in the urban area or even in the rural areas. We do have those funds to help them. And on top of the traditional opportunities, we also provide what we call freelancing assistance via our collaboration with MDEC. We have launched what we call MyGeek. MyGeek is a platform to train and empower our youth who are into freelancing gig. It's not something derogatory, because I think nowadays our youth are no longer loyal to certain particular employment, and they have opportunities to expand their income base by participating in this gig sector. We have what global online workforce program where you can market your skills to outsiders internationally, and I think we have seen many quite successful examples.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Faisal. That was Wan Ahmad Faisal Wan Ahmad Kamal, Deputy Minister of Youth and Sports, talking to us a bit about some of the Budget 2021 measures and how they may help the youth at this point in time. We're also running a poll on the subject of youths. What's it looking like, Roshan?
Very quickly, right now, what's the biggest issue preventing youths from getting jobs right now? 62% say companies not hiring, 13% say qualifications mismatch, and 16% say poor communication skills.
All right, do continue to let us know what you think, but right now we're about to head into the 8 o'clock news bulletin, and after that, the Breakfast Grill, where I'll be speaking with Geeta Wirjawan, chairman of Ancora Group. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.